अग्रिवन दारी जय। जय गोपी जन बाला बागिरिवन दारी, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा बनचारी, यमुना तीरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय।
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajakacharya Asa Tarasata Sri Simad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading text 30, Canto 4, Chapter 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Who knows the meter to this? Let me see. Atanapada Bhagavam Stava Saranganama. Okay, yes. Okay, Munaya Uchuhu Utanapada Bhagavam Stava Sarnagdan. Okay, why don't you do it? You can lead.
You try.
It's easy, actually.
Utanapada Bhagavam Stava Sarnagdanva.
Utanapada Bhagavam Stava Sarnagdanva.
Devakshino Tva Vanatar Tiharo Vipakshan.
Devakshino Tva Vanatar Tiharo Vipakshan.
Yannamadheyam Abhidhaya Nimsham Yachadha.
Yannamadheyam Abhidhaya Nishamya Chadha.
Loko Nijasa Taratis Dusra Taram Angam Rityum.
Satarati Dustaram Angam
Rityum.
Okay, let me try.
Munaya Uchu Altanapada Bhagavam Stava Sarnag Dananva. Napad Bhagavam Stava Sarnkadanva. Deva Shinotvan Natarti Hado Vipakshan. Deva Shinotvan Hado Vipakshan. Yannama Deyam Abhidaya Nishamya Chadha.
Yannama Deyam Abhidaya Nishamya
Lokanjasa tarati dustaram gamityam.
Would someone like to do?
Munaya uchahu. Utanapada bhagavam stava sarna ganva. Devashindota vanatarte haro vibhakshan. Yannamadeyam abhidaya nishamya chadha. Lokanjasatariti dostaramanga mityam. Uchuhu. Ottana pada bhagavam stava sarganandva. Devashinotra vanatarte karo vipakshan. Yannamadeyam abhidaya nishamya chadha. Lokanjasatariti dostaramanga mityam.
Any ladies?
Munaya uchuhu. The sages said, Uttanapada, O son of King Uttanapada, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tava, your Sangadanva, one who bears the bow called Sarnga. Deva, the Lord, Shinotu, may he kill Avanata of the surrendered soul, Arti, the distresses, Haraha, who removes, Vipakshan, enemies, Yat, whose, Namedyam, holy name, Abhidaya, uttering, Nishamya, hearing, Cha, also, Adha, immediately, Lokaha, persons, Anjasa, fully, Tarati, overcome, Dustaram, insurmountable, Anga, O Dhruva, Mrityam, death. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All the sages said, Dear Dhruva, O son of King Uttanapada, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Sarangadanva, who relieves the distresses of His devotees, kill all your threatening enemies. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord Himself. Therefore, simply by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, many men can be fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus, a devotee is saved. Purport. The great rishis approached Dhruva Maharaj at a time when his mind was very perplexed due to the magical feats exhibited by the yakshas. A devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his inspiration only, the sages came to encourage Dhruva Maharaj and assure him that there was no danger because he was a soul fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord. By the grace of the Lord, if a devotee at the time of death can simply chant his holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply by chanting the Maha Mantra, he immediately surpasses the great ocean of the material sky and enters the spiritual sky. He never has to come back for repetition of birth and death. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can surpass the ocean of death. So, Dhruva Maharaj was certainly able to surpass the illusory magical feats of the yakshas, which for the time being disturbed his mind. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Dhruva Maharaj's Fight with the Yakshas. Translation, all the sages said, Dear Dhruva, O son of King Uttanapada, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Sharangadanva, who relieves the distresses of his devotees, kill all your threatening enemies. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, many men can be fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus a devotee is saved. Umagina timirandasya ginanjana salakaya chaksulan militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayaprupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Panchakopa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So it is a very nice ending to the chapter here, expressing the holy name. Krishna and his holy name, none different. Prabhupada was once on one of his times when he went to Kumbh Mela, one of the devotees. Sometimes devotees would ask Prabhupada, especially in India, so many festivals going on in India, Vaishnava festivals, different types of festivals. So the devotee said, Is we having festival today, Prabhupada? Is today special day? He said, every day, he said, is festival day. You know, for Vaishnava, every day is a festival. It's certainly when Prabhupada was, everywhere he went, it was festival day. So in Kumbh Mela, the devotee asked him, so should we observe everyone's going into the Ganges a specific time, auspicious time? Vaishnavas, do we do that? Prabhupada said, Vaishnava is not such a simple thing. He said, we're not Vaishnava. We're trying to become a Vaishnava. He said, consider one Vaishnava. Prabhupada was a Vaishnava. Prabhupada was pure devotee. Vaishnava means pure devotee. And he sees everyone. Prabhupada said, everyone loves you, Prabhupada. He said, yes, because I love everyone. That's Vaishnava. Can't make those distinctions. This person's very nice. This one, not so nice. No, you somehow or other, you have to share your love of Krishna with everyone. So that's Vaishnava. I was saying in New Dwarka. New Dwarka is very nice in some ways because Prabhupada had a whole flat. It was actually like had his sitting room and had a very nice bedroom, and then there was another sitting room that he would use. He would do his bhajans. When you see him sitting in that room in Los Angeles with headphones on sometimes, playing mridanga, that's in New Dwarka. Krishna Kanti, and that was golden. We had Golden Avatar. That was one of the original recording studios and recording facilities we had for Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, sometimes he would say you could record some bhajan. So they would come in, Krishna Kanti would have his microphones, and Prabhupada, of course, he would play harmonium and chant. Sometimes he would be the only person. He would allow cartels. So he would play harmonium, someone would play kartals, and then he would chant. Then you'd see him with the headphones on, playing the mridanga. So he's listening to himself chanting. So he's laying down the next track. So it's his mridanga and his harmonium playing. So you have to listen sometimes. You can hear, if you listen to Prabhupada's bhajans, you can tell when he's playing mridanga. This is a very specific style. I once said to Prabhupada, bhajan. This bhajan was just Prabhupada in his room. Sometimes after nap, I would hear the harmonium in his room. So he was just chanting, just by himself, playing harmonium. Just like he's telling us to do. He was doing all these things. So he'd be in there chanting. As soon as I heard him chanting in the harmonium, of course I would go in, offer obeisances, and I'd sit. And then he'd just get the kartals. So then you can play kartals, and I'd just sit and play. Once in the manor, when he was finished, it was in the afternoon, and I said, Prabhupada, I said, no one chants like you. It was a silly thing to say, but I wanted to say something. I said, no one has chants like you. He said, no. He said, I have my own style. Said, we all have our own style. Prabhupada had very wonderful style. So he would do those bhajans. One of the bhajans you hear recorded, Hari Haraya Namaha, if you listen to the kartals, that was my one kirtan, my one bhajan I was in accompanying Prabhupada that was recorded. So whenever I hear that, I always listen for the kartals in the background, you know, instead of listening to the holy name. We want to know we're there, right? We want to be there with the pure devotee. That's our business. Somehow or other, get some association with the pure devotee. What's it say? One moment's association. It's all that's required, one moment. And what's one moment in time? What's the description? 1/12 of a second. 1/12 of a second. So a moment's association with a pure devotee, your life can be successful. Because, as I said, just by seeing Prabhupada, even if he didn't speak, by watching him, you could absorb so much of what it meant to be a devotee. It was just by his appearance, just by seeing the care that he did everything. I always mention putting on his tilak when you see that one with his hand. You know, just sitting in front of him in the morning, before the morning walk, sometimes the devotees who would go on the walk, they would come into the room. So he was always like sannyasis, sankirtan devotees, big, doing lots of service. They would be in Prabhupada's room. If they got there early enough, then they could see him chant Gayatri before the morning walk. And Prabhupada, he always sat very straight in his asana. He would sit very straight. So no one would be talking, they'd just watching. So then Prabhupada would... So, of course, what do? As soon as you see Prabhupada chanting Gayatri, everyone, all the Brahmins, get out their dreads, you know. When I first, in 1971, when I joined the temple in April, there was one Brahmin in the temple in Pittsburgh. It was Labungalatik. You may have heard of my god sister, Labungalatik. I think she spent the first 20 years distributing Prabhupada's books. She spent the next 20 years taking care of cows. Yes, Labungalatik. She just passed away just some months ago. Her son, DDD, he's famous, Dwarkadish. One of the famous, he's over 50 now, I think. I saw a picture of him, gray hair. I remember him, he was this big. He was a devotee who Prabhupada was writing Sanskrit. You see the picture of Dallas Gurukula, Prabhupada's teaching, that was Dwarkadish. With those boys in Gurukula, we went there. It was my very first time with Prabhupada in 1972. So already they had just been establishing the Gurukula. So there were many boys there. Young, very young, 4, 5, 6, 7. And Prabhupada, of course, they came to see Prabhupada. I can't imagine what the young children thought when they saw Prabhupada. They had such love for Prabhupada. And he had, of course, they felt Prabhupada's love. But he started playing with them. And he played leapfrog. You know, like Krishna plays leapfrog. You know what leapfrog? You know what frogs jump? So you have one, and so Prabhupada jumped over the little boy, and then showed him how to jump over him. So Prabhupada had a little brahmachari. So this was Prabhupada. He understood how to deal with everyone at every stage of life. He didn't tell 5 years old to sit down and chant japa. We did. Some of our crazy fanatical God brothers and God sisters, 8, 9 years old, they were saying, chant japa. These no, they're no longer young boys and girls. They're in their 40s. They don't like japa. They'll chant all day in a temple room. They love to chant, but that pushing, forcing on youngsters doesn't work very well. So Prabhupada, he gave so many nice instructions there. I'll do a little bit more in the verse here. So yes, that was Dwarkadish. And Prabhupada would say even they got up a little later. He said they didn't have to attend until they were ready to do these things. You don't push the children. So we see here very simply in the purport, in the verse, the power of the holy name. When I finally met the devotees in April of 71, I had been searching, not for a long time, for a month or so. I decided this world was a horrible place, miserable. Something has to happen. So I started praying to God. Anyway, after a few weeks of begging and crying and praying in bed every night, I met the devotees in a park on Earth Day, 1971. So within 1 week, I was in the temple. But I learned right away the power of the holy name, just chanting the Maha Mantra. It was the first thing you learn, the power of chanting the Maha Mantra. So I had one close friend through high school. His name was Eugene Christian. His last name was Christian. He's very white, blonde, platinum blonde hair. It was very nice. And so when I heard about Hare Krishna, I told him whatever I knew, which wasn't much, just chant Hare Krishna mantra, and go back home, back to Godhead, end of his life, you go to the spiritual world. That's what I... So I told him. A few days later, I left for the temple, and I got him to chant Hare Krishna, and then a month later he died. He was 19 years old. I don't even know what happened, but he just died. So I felt very happy, at least, that I was able to chant Hare Krishna with this fellow. So this is the power of Hare Krishna mantra. In Los Angeles, I said, Prabhupada, he would walk around through his rooms. They all joined. So he could make a circle going through the hallway. He would pass by the servants' quarters. Servants' quarters door was always open. There was no closing the door. He always left it open. So he would chant. Sometimes I'd just be sitting in the room. He'd walk by and go around again. He was chanting. I could hear him chanting. Generally, you didn't hear Prabhupada chant japa. He could be chanting on the airplane or chant. You didn't hear. But I could hear him. He was chanting. He was chanting. I could hear his beads in the bead bag because he was fingering his bead. So then he stopped at my room and he looked. He said, when you're in anxiety, he said, you chant loudly on your beads. His anxiety was he was getting information about Juhu. The Juhu was going to... So that was Prabhupada's anxiety. Madhavisa once asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, you say distributing my books is most important. Prabhupada has a special way of using that phrase, most important. Most important didn't mean everything else was less important. It meant everything was most important. He applied it to everything within Krishna consciousness. He said, distributing books, yes, he said, is most important. Doing the deity worship, most important. When one devotee asked, that book distributor asked Prabhupada, right, in Atlanta, you may know, what did Prabhupada respond? How can I please you the most? He said, you develop your love of Krishna. He expected to hear, distribute my books, because that's what he knew was a fact, because he heard it 100 times a day. We all heard it 100 times a day, distribute books, distribute books. So he wanted that answer. But Prabhupada always knew what our agenda was. He always knew our agendas. And he would never give in to what you wanted to hear. He would tell you what's important, what's most important. So he said, you develop your love of Krishna. So Madhavisa, of course, we see in the letters, he told the same thing. Satsarup wrote him a letter once, Maharaj. He said, Prabhupada, he was on the library party, so they were distributing sets of books, but not so many, you know, that you could do. But others in Radha Damodar party were distributing thousands of books every day. So he asked Prabhupada, he said, should I do that? This is most important. So Prabhupada said, everything's most important. That's it. Nothing is minor. Like I said, that boy who didn't pay his obeisances when Prabhupada was going on the morning walk, he said, beginning of his fall down. Just being unconscious. Huh? You're either Krishna conscious or you're not. And that's every moment. Every moment. So when Madhavisa asked him the same question, Prabhupada said, he said, how do we please Krishna the most? How can I please you the most? He said, you struggle for Krishna. That's what we were speaking about yesterday. As I said, not that we come to a place and, I can relax now. I'm chanting my rounds. I follow. This is all very simple. But Prabhupada says, what are you doing? If you have that captured love of Krishna, then you have to do something. Just like yesterday, some of the devotee ladies, they were cooking for Maharaj. They have love for Maharaj. They care for him. The others, so they had so much fun. I could see when they came in with the prasadam, their faces were all so bright, doing service. Service is what gives us that happiness. So Prabhupada looked at me and he said, when you're in anxiety, he said, you chant very loudly on your beads. So you chant and you hear whatever it takes. He said, as a grahasta, he said, even very easy, he said, to chant your 16 rounds. He said, as a grahasta, he said, I did. He said, 4 rounds early in the morning. Mangalarti time. He said, then you can do 4 rounds before each meal. So here's Prabhupada again, 3 meals a day Prabhupada was taking. When I was with him, 3 meals a day he was taking. So he said, you chant 4 rounds before each meal. He said, and if you don't chant the 4 rounds, you can't eat that meal. So he said, that way you'll get all your rounds finished. Because no one likes to miss prasadam. In Mayapur, the Lotus building, when it was there, Prabhupada had his rooms on the first floor, second floor. So he'd come down the stairs every morning to go on his walk, 6 o'clock in the morning, just as the sun was coming up. So, and Prabhupada always knew who's here, who's not here. You might think he's just transcendental to everything, he's paying attention to everything. Everyone's his disciple. He wants to know what you're doing. He's watching what you're doing. So we're not even down the steps. He's there, where is Sannyasi? He says, where is Maharaj? Someone said, oh, Prabhupada's not feeling well this morning. So again, I was with Prabhupada for a long time, so I saw an opportunity. And I said, yes, Prabhupada, I said he has morning sickness. Morning sickness means a few things. When a woman is pregnant, they get morning sickness. They throw up so it was kind of a real... So Prabhupada laughed. He said, yes. He said, morning sickness. He said, if one doesn't rise in the morning, he said, no breakfast. So Prabhupada had his rules. He didn't enforce things. But he would say, this is what should be done. In other words, take everything seriously. Again, rising early in the most serious thing, the Mangal Artik hours, that time of the day, most important. Prabhupada would emphasize it. But then he always gave facility for whatever you can do. So we shouldn't look for, he gave us the easiest thing to do. We should see what he wants, not what he says, that's okay. You just do that, that's okay. I don't know whether I told you, I've had many dreams about Prabhupada. Not many, I've had some dreams over the years about Prabhupada. Dreams are very funny because even in the dreams I'm just his servant, which means he's here. told me different things in dreams. One time I walked into his room in a dream. I heard the bell ring. So I came in, I offered my obeisances, and it was in India in the dream. It looked like some life member's house. And when I walk in, and Prabhupada was sitting back like this, and he had a phone, a cell phone. He said, "What's your number?" He said, "I may need to call you soon." So, "What is your number?" So I posted it on social media with a picture of Prabhupada on the phone. There's one picture. There's 20,000 photos of Prabhupada. There's one of Prabhupada on a telephone. That's how often he wasn't on the phone. Never on a telephone. In Los Angeles, Kurandar. Kurandar was number one disciple, Kurandar. Very efficient. He said to Prabhupada, "We can bring a telex machine here." This was 1973. Telex provided instant communication. It was like a Morse code thing. But this would type out the things. And he said, "For not a fortune, we can get telex machine. And whatever temple you put it in, then we can have instant communication." Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "It'll just be used for gossip." This was 50 years ago. Prabhupada knew exactly what this business was, this social media business. It's all that people do is talk about one another, argue, fight. Everyone's an authority because there's no faces, impersonal. Anyone will challenge anyone. So Prabhupada immediately said no. Twice he was asked, two different times, two different places. He said the same thing, gossip. And he would use that word, gossip. Prabhupada knew English very well. It was practically his first language by the time he left. He didn't say prajalpa, which we grew up, we knew the term prajalpa, and we would say village talk. Not just village, it's everywhere talk. And we talk at village talk, but prajalpa. But he didn't use the Sanskrit. He said gossip. Mayapur was world famous gossip center in those days. I was with Prabhupada three or four times in Mayapur. Every time we were there, he called me in the room, told me, "Tell the people to stop talking nonsense." Mayapur had a very special, I don't know, vibration. You could hear, in the Lotus building, you could hear a sound from one end of the building to the other. Every time a door shut, a window slammed, people talking, you could hear it. So the one time was 75, it was a big festival, 500 devotees coming from the West to go to the Gaur Purnima festival. It's incredible, 1975. It cost, it was probably almost $500,000 just in plane fares. It was a lot of money. So much money, his secretary, Brahmananda Maharaj, he said, "Prabhupada, so many people coming." He says, "It's so much money." He said, "Should we be doing that?" This was on the veranda in Mayapur. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, "What does it cost to feed you in your life?" Do you know Brahmananda? Brahmananda was not, didn't look like me. He looked like two of me. He was a big, big. So Prabhupada, joking, "How much does it cost to feed you?" Then Brahmananda, he said, "So is life." He said, you have to spend money. You're here, you have to spend. That's life in the material world. You get nothing for nothing. But the festival was so important to have that association with devotees, with the speak of association with Prabhupada. He knew every moment that we spent with him was special, was important. Every moment, every second, just to be able to witness him. So in his room in Los Angeles, chanting Gayatri. So everybody's chanting Gayatri. Told you. When I first learned about the Brahmins in New Vrindavan, I saw La Bungalati chanting Gayatri. And I kept watching her because I thought she was going to like raise off the ground. Because it was secret mantra. You know, we all had the Hare Krishna mantra. Probably. It's free. But still there was a secret mantra. Even there... Everyone, Hare Krishna is for everyone, but we had our own secret mantra. So that was, we all wanted to become Brahmins one day, but she was the Brahmin in the temple. So now everyone is in Prabhupada's room chanting Gayatri. But Prabhupada, his chanting and our chanting were on very different levels. He finished his Gayatri. Everyone's still sitting on the floor. So you can't stop, right? Once you start that sacred mantra, that your secret mantra. So they're on the floor. Prabhupada, and this was part of his joking spirit, see? And he would do it all. Whenever it was available, he would do it. So the first time, I'd be caught off guard. But then after that, it would become a common joke because you would watch everyone freaking out. Because Prabhupada gets up, and I'm standing at the door, his sitting room door. Right outside the door are his shoes and his cane. So he gets up and walks to the door. Prabhupada, as I said, he didn't waste even any energy. His own, electric, nothing, water dripping, everything off, 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 off. So as he walked, I would be there. I had a shoehorn, I had an ivory shoehorn. And I had his cane. So he would put one foot into his shoe, shoehorn. His next step, he was already walking out the door. He didn't stop to put his shoes on. He literally walked into his shoes as he was walking out. Because you had to be that efficient with Prabhupada. He expected you to know everything he was doing. He said, that's first class servant. So even his steps. So I put one on, put the other on, got his cane. And Prabhupada's walking down the stairs and they're still trying to figure out how to finish Gayatri and be on the morning walk. So Prabhupada had that amusing, he would do that in just for his own amusement and to watch his disciples squirm a little bit. And then on the walk, you never knew. You know, you never knew what Prabhupada was going to do, not do, say, not say. Sometimes devotees, they would get eager. Because sometimes Prabhupada wasn't in the mood to talk. And then he didn't talk. But you would have people on the morning walk. It was their only time. So they want to hear something. So their minds, you know, their minds are going, thinking of questions. Something, somehow, to make a connection. To get Prabhupada's personal association. So one brahmacharya, Prabhupada, they say that the Bible predates Vedic literature, that the Vedic literature is not 5,000 years old, less than 2,000 years old, so that the Bible is older. And Prabhupada looked, he says, why do you think like that? No, Prabhupada, not me. He says, why are you saying? Because Prabhupada understood our doubts. Huh? So if you brought something up, it wasn't just something to argue, it was something worth meditating on. You know, it was our meditation. And Prabhupada immediately, he would put you in your place. First of all, just for interrupting him, you have no right starting the conversation. You always waited. Prabhupada led. Prabhupada is the leader. That's what he said. First you learn to follow, then you can be a leader. But he would always look to see that we were following properly. Where we at, is it? I was on, there was something I wanted to say, but are there any questions, comments at this point? No?
Thank you, Prabhuji, for sharing such wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. I just want to hear, you've been personally serving Srila Prabhupada, serving spiritual master. So many times we are serving very closely a pure devotee, and many times there may be chances where we may not understand the mood of the spiritual master and do something, and that can create offense. So how to take care of it, and could you share some instance where such thing happened, and how did you learn the way of serving Prabhupada better?
Well, I was a brahmachari with Prabhupada for about a year, which means now I was just about 2.5 years in the temple. So I was Prabhupada's servant, And during his massage in the morning, for hour and a half massage, many of the days, most days, is when the letters were read to him by his secretary, and then Prabhupada would dictate responses. So this one letter came in from a temple president. I'm massaging Prabhupada, again behind him, I'm just massaging, and the secretary's reading this letter from the temple president. And the president asked Prabhupada's permission to get a divorce and to remarry, both in the same letter. He said, I want to divorce this woman and get married to this woman. So Prabhupada, he was a temple president, one of Prabhupada's senders, joined in the late 60s. So Prabhupada responded quickly, and he said, just tell him it's okay. So I'm behind Prabhupada. I'm in shock. Couldn't understand. Prabhupada, it means all you have to do is read anywhere. No question of divorce. Just no question. And here he's saying, yes, it's okay. I didn't say anything. It's not my position to say anything. And I had an idea. Prabhupada is very kind, compassionate. But it disturbed me. It was the only day I was ever felt disturbed by something Prabhupada said. I just didn't understand it. I was divorced myself, of course, later on. But I didn't understand it at the time. I thought, this isn't the philosophy. You know? All day went by. And I'm still in my head. And I said, I was very careful how I spoke to Prabhupada. Except for when I told him I had no love. That wasn't very careful. But normally, if I was going to say anything to him, I said it to myself 10 times or so. I prepared. And then I had to prepare for his answers to that question. So then I prepared for the answers. I was ready. So this time, this was very important to me. So now I'm massaging him again at nighttime. So it's just Prabhupada and I in the room. No lights are on. It's very peaceful. It was the best time of the day. It was my favorite time of the day. It was sitting with Prabhupada in his room, massaging him while he laid in bed. Because no one ever walked into the room. Only his servant would go into the bedroom for a massage. It wasn't a time you could do anything. So he was yours for an hour or so, you know. So it felt very special. But this night, it was also special. And I knew what to say, but you have to get up, for me, I had to get up the courage to even ask him a question. So finally I said, Prabhupada, I'm rubbing his feet, his lotus feet, pink on the bottom, very soft, very beautiful. And I'm rubbing, and I said, Prabhupada. I said, this morning, I said, you received a letter from the devotee asking you about divorce. Prabhupada was so quick. He would, many times you couldn't even finish your question, and he would be answering it. And that's what he did. I said, you said this devotee could get, yes, he said, in your country, he said, this is going on. He said, this is normal. I expected such an answer. So I said, yes. I said, so is meat eating, intoxication. I said, these are all prevalent. I said, but these are part of our principles. Then he got serious. And he said, if I tell him no, he said he's going to do it anyway. He said, so then the offense is greater. He didn't say, then there's an offense. He said, the offense is greater. He said, therefore, I say, go ahead. Because whatever we did, service saved us. He knew we were far from being wonderful devotees. He said, you know, my godbrother said, Prabhupada, we're all like puppets in your hand. He said, yes, I want you to go like this, and you're going like this. Which was exactly the opposite. You have to see, you know. Puppet means marionette. You know, you have in India, you still have them, the puppets on the strings. So that's what he said, we're like puppets. And we're supposed to be like puppets for the spiritual master. But he's saying we're going all haywire. We're going the wrong ways. But still he tolerated, and he didn't take offense. It's all he saw. These nice boys and girls are here helping my spiritual master. helping push on this movement. And he just gave and gave. He was that powerful. In 74, when he was ill, this was September, August, September of 1974. He was in Vrindavan for a month. We thought he would leave. He hadn't eaten for weeks. It's a long story. It was the first time we had 24-hour chanting in the temples. But Prabhupada said, you can chant. So that was the first time we did it. And he used to sit, as he was getting better, he would sit under the tamal tree in the courtyard there. He would watch devotees give classes, his disciples. Imagine giving 30, 45-minute class in front of Prabhupada at that time. The sannyasis, he was watching, listening to them give classes. He said to me a few times, he said, this illness, he said, is because 80% of the leaders are not following. That's all he said. He didn't say, I never asked such a thing. He'll tell me what he wants to tell me. That was my attitude. But he said it to me a few times. What degree of following, not following, I don't know what he meant by it. But he said the spiritual master, he has to take some portion of suffering from his disciples. First at initiation, he's taking all of your karma. This is the spiritual master. But then if we're nonsense disciples, he's suffering. This is what Prabhupada told me. You know, he told me again and again that this was going on. He said they touch my feet. Because we never, very rarely a disciple would touch Prabhupada's feet. We would come to India, we would go crazy because everyone was after Prabhupada's. It's something we weren't aware of when we first came here. Everyone was trying to touch Prabhupada's feet. Brahmananda, he had his danda, was like him. You know, dandas are made according to your size. So his danda was like very thick and very tall. And when people would try to touch Prabhupada's feet, bam, right on your hand. So it didn't happen very often. And Prabhupada, he would never stop it when someone tried, but he would say it shouldn't happen. So this is, we have to take very serious. When we become initiated, we take this process very seriously. We have to follow the instructions to go this way, not to go the wrong way, and to see our spiritual master suffer. So when he said it, I immediately understood, and I needed him to say it. I knew it deep down, but I wanted him to say it at that time. But then when I saw that compassion, just do your service, because he knew that will cure everything. Service is also Krishna, non-different. Devotional service to Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So he knew you just have to keep doing. You had, yes. Go ahead, talk.
What was Prabhupada's relationship with Lakshmi? How can we try to imbibe this?
Lakshmi? Money Lakshmi? What kind of Lakshmi? Lakshmi Devi? Lakshmi money?
Yeah.
Had a very good relationship with Lakshmi. If you read his diary, when he first arrived in New York, you would see he accounted for pennies. He would say he spent 5 cents on salt, things like that. I took a bus, 25 cents. In India, he chastised one of the Matajis. He said, why is the fan on? No one's in the room. She said, well, they just did the floors. Isn't that how we dry the floors when you wipe the floors down, right? No, Prabhupada said, you're wasting Krishna's energy. So just let the floors dry on their own. He would walk, if he would see a drip coming down. Well, why is it dripping? Lights on, fans on, nothing, with people not there. So he was very respectful. Lakshmi, Krishna's energy, he was most careful. Tejas, Tejas? Tejas was the Delhi connection. Tejas was Prabhupada's disciple. He's managing Delhi for years. Of course, nothing manifests in Delhi very much. Prabhupada would have him take the bus from Vrindavan to Delhi, Delhi to, you know, like the 5-rupee bus at that time. It was hellish. You know? No phone calls. Once he had a deposit to make into the bank, and Prabhupada was discussing with his disciple whether it was cheaper to put a stamp on an envelope and mail it or go on the rickshaw and do it. So he was always very careful about every penny, every paisa that was spent. Even there was so many paisas later, millions of dollars were there. It didn't mean just do anything. And in India, we were constantly being chastised by him. Cheated. Everyone's cheating you. We were always being cheated. Prabhupada used the expression, damn cheap Baba. You know, that was the expression, damn cheap Baba. He said it because Gurudas in Vrindavan's probably done, we got it for this, cheap. Because we thought everything was cheap, because for us everything was so much more expensive. We would come here, you know, you'd get a meal for 20 cents. But maybe it should have been 5 cents. You know, like, but for us, you know, we get on the rickshaws. You know, it's very difficult, like in places like Vrindavan and Mayapur, where we spent so many years, the prices are so out of sync with everywhere else because they prey on the Westerners. I had a godbrother, he went from Krishna Balaram Temple to Keshigat. The man charged him 3,000 rupees. This is a 20 to 40 rupee ride. Charged him 3,000 rupees and he paid it because he just, you know, he got confused. So, but yes, very, very important to take care of everything, whether it's Lakshmi or clothing, food, everything. It's all Krishna. It's all Krishna's energy. Maharaj.
Did you have any experience with Prabhupada when someone left Krishna consciousness? How did he respond to that? Did he ever make like a personal effort or an effort amongst the devotees to get that person back?
Mm. Yes. Well, there are a few instances. We know when one of his sannyasis left, he was a GBC there in Australia. And after he left, of course, this was the gossip was always going on. Someone left, you had to talk why they left, you know, who they're with, what they did, what they took, what they didn't take, so many things. So he was accused of embezzling. And of course he didn't, Prabhupada knew. And he said, now you've embarrassed him, he cannot even come back to the society. So Prabhupada was furious. They were gossiping. I'll finish that story in Mayapur. Prabhupada called me into the room one day. He was, you know, he had the two rooms. And then we were in the other room as servants. And then at the festival time, many sannyasis, GBC, they were in that building, the Lotus building. So when they got together, you could always, like I said, you could hear conversations. So Prabhupada's just sitting in his room. Finally, he rings his bell. He said, tell them to be quiet. He said, all I hear is gossip. He says, this person doing this, doing this. He said, tell them be quiet. He said, this gossip, he said, it destroys your Krishna consciousness. He says this a few times. He never said, this gossip is bad for your Krishna consciousness, or it slows down, or it impedes, or it stops. It destroys it. You know what destroys mean? I mean, it all crashes down. It's finished by gossip. He told me, you tell them. These were GBC sannyasis. Most of them were 5 to 10 years older than me at that time. So I just went in and said, Prabhupada's trying to rest. He's asking you to be quiet. I was even afraid to say anything. So then the next day, his godbrother comes, sannyasi, younger sannyasi, by some years. And he would come visit Prabhupada. He had a little mandir down the road. And one day he came, and after he came, Prabhupada rang his bell. He said, when he comes, he said, I don't want to see him. He said, all he does is gossip. My disciple, one disciple's doing this, another doing this. This temple and this temple, they're doing this. But one thing he said, it infuriated Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't say it to me, but I found out later. He had said that your God brothers, he said to Prabhupada, your God brothers are criticizing you. Because when you come to Mayapur, you go right past Janmasthan. You don't come in, offer your obeisances, you don't come in to the temple. So they were criticizing. So Prabhupada was furious. And he said, I'm with my spiritual master every moment. He was doing the work of his spiritual master. See, that's what Prabhupada, he didn't care this, just sitting ringing bells and eating. That's what he would say, just show the deity, ring the bell and eat. No, Prabhupada, he said, he even pointed one time, he pointed to Janmasthan. He said, Janmasthan, he said, this is Karmasthan. Mayapur, ISKCON temple. He said, this is the most important temple because we're carrying on the work of Lord Chaitanya. So when his God brother said that to him, Prabhupada said in response to us, he said, Prabhupada, when we would go to Mayapur, we'd go along Bhaktisiddhanta Road. So when we were going past the temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada would say, stop the car. He would stop right in front of the temple, and from there, he paid his respects. But he didn't even want to get out of the car. You know, those Prabhupada did not have a good relationship with his God brothers. He wouldn't get out of the car. And he said, they've made Bhakti Vinod a gatekeeper at that temple. So that was his fury. Was it at the front of the temple, they had a little shrine to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He said, they've made him a gatekeeper. So Prabhupada didn't even, he didn't accept their whole understanding. So he just passed it by. So the very next day, his God brother comes back. I'm right at the, on the veranda in front of Prabhupada's room by the stairs. So this God brother, he tells me, I don't want to see him. He found him so offensive. So now he's coming up the stairs. He's Prabhupada's God brother. He said, I'm here to see Maharaj. Prabhupada was resting. So that was easy. I said, I'm sorry, he's resting now. He said, he'll see me whenever I come. He said, I can see him. I said, yeah, that's okay. I said, but right now he's resting. I said, I can't wake him up. So while we're talking, Prabhupada opens the bedroom door. And he had no shirt, you know, no, it's just summertime in Mayapur. He had his dhoti. He had just gotten up from his nap. You could see his dhoti. He's like fixing his dhoti. And he goes, oh, Maharaj. He said, welcome. He said, go in. He said, I'll be right there. He said, go sit down in the sitting room. So I thought, oh, geez. And Prabhupada walks to the bathroom. So now me and his God brother are sitting in front of Prabhupada's, in his room. And I know it's, this is wasn't good. And I can feel him, you know, this little punk, we would say, this little nobody, who's he to tell me anything? And I'm just sitting there, and Prabhupada comes back in, big smile on his face. Prabhupada was expert, big smile. Oh, Maharaj, very nice to see you. Yes, he said, but your disciple, he said, he was preventing me from seeing you. Prabhupada looked at me. He said, I told you, wherever Maharaj comes, you let him in the room. I said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, okay, you can go. So I offered obeisances and went. So this was Prabhupada, you know. And then he sat him down. And he tried to give him his association rather than take his association. So even though he would say so many things, his compassion never let him stop from giving his association to someone who was seeking it. So even he just saw it was, his God brother was nonsense. He said, I wouldn't mind. It's what he said to me that day. He said, if he came in and wanted to discuss philosophy, he said, to talk with Chaitanya Charitamrita or about preaching efforts, he said, but he just gossips. So understand, our business, no gossip. Otherwise, we're finished. It's a, like I say, the beginning of your fall down. This is a very big punch into your fall down. And you can see it practically. We start looking at people in offensive ways. We start seeing everything people do wrong. People who are glorious in devotional service, doing so many things. I see it with my godbrother sannyasis. I remember once saying to Radhanath Maharaj, this was 15 years ago, I had gotten divorced and I got remarried. So Radhanath Maharaj, he was a happy, one of the first things I did was go to Chaupati Temple for a week. So they said, what do we do, Maharaj? I said, let him speak. He's going to talk about Prabhupada. What can you do? You just have to see what good is there in this individual. He let me speak every day for a week in the temple room. Other temples wouldn't even let me come. So one day Maharaj came and he was at the manor. My wife and I were living at the manor. He would come over for prasadam. And I complained to him. I said, Maharaj, I said, this temple here, this GBC, they won't even let me speak in the temple. He looked at me. He said, Sriptakirti. He said, you have so much mercy. He said, you should be very happy. He said, anywhere you go, people will hear you. He said, you can come to any temple I'm involved in, anytime. And he looked at me. He said, there's temples they don't let me go to. Then I thought, it's a fact. So this is what it's like. We become critical of people. You start seeing, it doesn't just happen to one person, it spreads. We just start seeing faults everywhere. We become that person. It's not going to get us anywhere good. The very opposite. It will destroy your Krishna consciousness. It will be gone. God sister Jamuna, famous Jamuna, her method was if she was in a group and somebody started gossip. Gossip simply means you say something about someone that's not very nice, not kind, not positive, critical. As soon as she would hear it, she would say, my, that's very interesting. And then she'd go away. You can't stay for these kinds of things, huh? And it's also good for the person. They can understand. Hey, you should watch my tongue. I didn't answer your question at all, Maharaj. No. But in response to that question, Prabhupada, when he was at the temple in Hawaii, seven islands, New Navadvip, Prabhupada named it New Navadvip, made the Panchatattva, first Panchatattva. You want to know how magic Krishna consciousness is? The 50th anniversary of the Panchatattva's installation in Hawaii, the first Panchatattva installed in the movement. The 50th anniversary is the opening of the temple, TOVP, of the Panchatattva in Mayapur. So when we brought this up to Ambarish, we said, please try to connect, because this was the beginning of the Panchatattva's arrival in Hawaii, in New Navadvip. So we're intimately connected with Mayapur temple. So this is just how wonderful. So there in that was Oahu Island. So at this time, one devotee who had sold the temple back in 1972-73, he sold the temple, he took the money, and he went to another island and he bought some land. Prabhupada's money. Prabhupada's Lakshmi. He went and he bought some for himself. Not ISKCON property. He went and did his own thing. So it was 2 years later, and Prabhupada, of course, was very upset. They abandoned the temple. They abandoned Tulsi Devi in the front yard. Prabhupada wrote, who is taking care of Tulsi? He couldn't understand us, how we could just leave something. It was completely foreign to him, our Western mentality, every day jumping to something different. Prabhupada did not like that change. So 1975, Prabhupada's there at the temple in Hawaii. I'm his servant. Guru Kripa's his GBC. And we had a farm on the big island of Hawaii, the other island, where this devotee's also there with his own farm. So Prabhupada said to Guru Kripa, I want to go see our farm on the big island. He said, okay, Prabhupada. So I thought, ooh, I get to travel to Big Island. Guru Kripa looks at me. He says, just me and Prabhupada, you're not coming. So I got to sit by myself that day. And I was like a shadow of Prabhupada. 24 hours a day, you just shadowed him. So, but Guru Kripa, he used his seniority. So Prabhupada went there, and of course, as soon as he gets there, he said, where is Gursundar? That's who had done it. So Prabhupada went there to see him. He didn't go there to see the farm. In fact, he never went to the farm, our farm. He said, can we find Gursundar? I want to see him. But that didn't happen either. So then Prabhupada came right back. He never even stopped to see the farm on the big island. A few years later, that farm was gone. Prabhupada knew it. He knew everything. He knew where to put his energy. He was putting his energy into his disciple, not to some million-dollar farm on the big island where everybody could relax and drink coconuts. No, he wanted to save his disciple, but he wasn't available. So he came back. So a few days later, he shows up. While I'm massaging Prabhupada, lunchtime, just before lunch, I'm in Prabhupada's sitting room in Hawaii, and I'm massaging Prabhupada, and he comes into the room. He's got beard, long hair, and he was a Scorpio, very deep, very intense fellow, very intelligent. He was translating Bengali back in 1970. He was already looking in Bengali. He was reading Bhakti Siddhanta. But he didn't say anything. He just kind of sat down before Prabhupada. Didn't offer obeisances. He just sat. And I'm massaging Prabhupada. And these things, I would become so bewildered when I would see these older devotees sometimes. I didn't never understood their relationship. So Prabhupada asked him how you were. Okay. So Prabhupada, pushed a little, asked a few questions, but he wasn't really responsive. So after a few minutes, Prabhupada said, what have I done? He said, that made you leave Krishna consciousness. He said, what offenses have I committed to you? He said, that caused you to leave. He started crying in front of his disciple. He said, what can I do so that you come back? Prabhupada took total responsibility that he left. You know, he had no responsibility for his leaving. But this is the business. Huh? This is the business of the guru. You accept your guru. He's bonded with you. He'll do anything to save you. Prabhupada said, if I have to come back, I come back. So please don't make me come back. So he was saying to him, what have I done? He said, what can I do? And he just sat there. I was crying. And then Prabhupada said, okay, you can go. He got up and left. And I'm still behind Prabhupada. And he said, he's a big rascal. He said, but I love him. Huh? This is spiritual life. This is pure devotee. All this other stuff, the way we deal with one another. We like this person, don't like this person, can deal with this, don't want to serve under this person. All of this, it has to go away. So we see we're serving Krishna, we're serving Guru and Krishna. The service is direct, it's personal. I always say, huh? The bead bag. Who left their bead bag crying? Who left the plate of prasadam crying on the table? Prabhupada gave personality to everything. And in that way, you have to be very careful. Okay. That answer. So then, 2 years later, 1977, Gursundar comes to see Srila Prabhupada. I was there. Was, again, so interesting. Madhadvisa and I arrived in Vrindavan at Krishna Balaram on the same flight from Hawaii, just by accident. Of course, there's no accidents. But we were together. We get to India and Delhi. We go to Vrindavan, and Madhavisa shaves off his long hair. He had a sikha like this big in the back of his head. he bought white dhoti kurta. We both went in to see Srila Prabhupada. This was Mudit Visa. He was the one Prabhupada said he was embarrassed. He can't even come back. What you've done to him. So we came. Prabhupada was so happy to see him. He was a little happy to see me next to him. So he said, oh, you've come. I brought Prabhupada a candle, one of these carved candles. We used to make thousands of dollars back in the day. We carved these candles, different layers and colors. Prabhupada said, you Americans, you know how to make money. We knew how to spend money wrongly. We really knew how to make it. He said, you know how to make money. He looked at Mudit Visa. He was so happy. He said, so now he said, you're a grahasta. Second time he said these exact words. Now you're a grahasta like Srutakirti. I was with him when Hanuman also left his sannyas and became grahasta. Prabhupada say, so now you're a grahasta. Just do your service. He didn't look at the colors of cloth, you know. He just saw servant, someone I can use, someone I can make an instrument to try to do something to push on this mission, and they'll benefit so much. So he said, just now do your service. Then he looked. Prabhupada was skin and bones. This was September 1977. He was lying in bed. He could barely get words out of his mouth. And he said, have you taken prasadam? Did you bathe? He said, go take prasadam, bathe, and come back. You just cry in front of him. All he did was care about everyone else. Even as his body was disappearing in front of us. He never showed any concern. It was always, oh, you've come. And then the next day, Gorsundar shows up with his new wife. Prabhupada initiated his wife on the spot. He was very happy to see Gorsundar just do service. That's all. He just wanted to see everyone just serve Krishna, be happy. So everything all worked out at the end. Prabhupada had held no grudges. The only way you could really upset Prabhupada, even money, he could get upset, but he knew Lakshmi will come. But if you distorted this philosophy, if you watered down what he had given us, if you added something, you came before him, he'd turn into Lord Narsingadev. And it wasn't with Prahlad sitting on his lap. It was the other Lord Narsingadev. His eyes would come red. His lips would quiver. I would sit off on the side. I wouldn't even want to be in the room as he would just torch these people. You know, the Gopi Bhava Club. That was like the gold standard of nonsense in our society, the Gopi Bhava Club. This is 1973. Right? Devotee won 2 years. They decided they're only going to read about the gopis. Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Nectar of Devotion, whatever, Bhagavatam, Krishna book. Only read about Krishna and the gopis. Prabhupada, they came into Prabhupada's room, just blasted them. He used the analogy of the medical books. You know, without a doctor, you're just nonsense, you know. And then he said, everything, like the first instruction he gave me. When I tried to read a special Krishna book story about a demon, so he'd laugh. He stopped me. He said, anywhere, Krishna's like a sweet ball. Wherever you bite, sweet. So he didn't like picking and choosing what you like. If you like love Krishna, you love all of Krishna. You don't pick this thing. So yes, everything worked out for Gorsundar. But that was the most amazing thing when he said that to him himself. What have I done? But imagine you say that to someone. You take the responsibility. That's what the guru does. He takes the responsibility. All right. So we're leaving in a few hours. I'm very happy to be here with my godbrothers, all of you. Chandramali Maharaj is always wonderful to spend time with him. We had some very wonderful time yesterday, his association. It's by Radhanath Maharaj, of course, I was able to come. He said he'd make all arrangements. He made very nice arrangements. So I think we'll be back in India mid-February in Gaur Purnima in Mayapur. And I might have to come over this side for a little time, so I hope to see you all at that time.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much, everyone. Hare Krishna.
So let us offer our deep, deep gratitude to His Grace Shuddha Kirti Prabhu for sharing His loving memories and wonderful lessons from Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. In fact, we were talking yesterday that Prabhuji is saying that when next time He'll come, He'll not only share Prabhupada Katha, but He'll also teach us cooking. What was that paneer thing you were asking?
When we were in Mayapur, this was 73, the kitchen was a closet right adjacent to Prabhupada's room. So one day he called me in. He said, I want you to make, he said, wet vegetable, but it was more soup. He said, you, with a liter of milk, he said, you curdle it, you make paneer. He said, so you deep fry the paneer cubes in ghee for a long time, make them really brown and then you deep fry potatoes, cube potatoes. Then you have peas. You don't need to deep fry the peas. And you deep fry cauliflower, which you'll throw in at the end because it breaks up right away. So you have your base is your whey. The whey is your soup base. So now you throw all those deep fried things into that water, the whey. So the curd now is in the water, so it becomes very chewy and nice. It's not crunchy. It's soft and chewy. So we did that, and then you made your chaunce. In those days, chaunces, we didn't have very elaborate spices, but always had cumin, coriander, asafoetida, turmeric, little chili, and just, you know, simmer, boil for a few minutes. So we had very tasty, because ghee, everything's fried in ghee, 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 the curd, ghee. And so I gave it to him. So the next day he said, you make that. The next day he said, you make that. The next day he said, you make that. 10 days in a row he had me make that with his lunch, with everything else. So yeah, that was. So now he wants me to make it. For the deities he wants me, yes. Not just me, but everyone. Very kind.
So thank
you. Actually a video. In May of this year, so 6 months ago, that's what I was telling about the festival in Los Angeles. There were eight of us, eight Prabhupada cooks, Harikesh, Palika, Kishori, anyway, eight of us. So, and afterwards I did a cooking demonstration out front and I made that preparation. So it's on, if you look up Prabhupada Festival in Los Angeles, it's like a 2-hour video of me cooking that, and Arundhati cooking a chutney. Very, very, very nice. Yeah, very informative. All right. Hare Krishna.
So we are looking for that preparation. And we'll miss you, Prabhuji. So thank you once again, Prabhuji, for his valuable time and his wonderful katha. Let us thank him by loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Also, we have two sannyasis visiting us. We have Swami Nitya Bodhananda and one more Swamiji from Shivananda Ashram. So we are very happy to have them. Let's welcome them also by loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol.